Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $389 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Ice Time podcast here at buffalonews.com. I'm news sports columnist Mike Harrington, joined as always by Sabres beat reporter Rachel Lindsay as we look toward another busy weekend as the Buffalo Sabres wind down the last 10 games of the season. The Sabres are hosting the Detroit Red Wings on Friday night in KeyBank Center and the Seattle Kraken on Saturday night, and then the New York Islanders on Tuesday night. So it's a busy upcoming road here, coming off two straight overtime losses, Sunday in Anaheim and Wednesday against the Boston Bruins. And Rachel, as you look at this upcoming homestand, certainly the Detroit Red Wings are super desperate to get some points here in the Eastern Conference. Seattle almost out of it in the Western Conference. Tell me a little bit about some of your thoughts about this weekend back-to-back and what you want to see out of the Sabres in these two games.
Well, first, it's good to be back on the podcast with you. I hope you enjoyed the California trip as well. I feel like it's been about a month since we've been on a podcast together, but you and I are on the same page here. The word I keep thinking about when I see the next three home games for the Sabres, again, Friday against Detroit, Saturday against Seattle, Tuesday against the Islanders, is just that, desperate. They face teams that are desperate to get in the playoffs. Detroit and the Islanders are bubble teams. They're just on the outside looking in the Eastern Conference. Seattle's more of a long shot to make it in the West. And Detroit, I have a lot to say about the Red Wings. You know, in the last 2 months, they're just a team that lacks consistency and direction. They're kind of those one step forward, two steps back team. Yep. They lost a lot of ground after Christmas. I've seen a lot of L's in the win-loss column for them. And they're at the point now where it's like, oh no, it's March and we got to do something to get things together. And I feel like this is kind of the end of, feels like 2015 and 2016 when I was helping cover the Red Wings and covering their farm team in Ohio, their ECHL team. And 2016, I think back when they squeaked into the playoffs and lost a first round series in five games to Tampa Bay. And I covered that series at the old Joe Louis Arena. First, I thought of the Lightning. I said, this is going to be the next big thing in the NHL. Second, I thought the Detroit Red Wings that I knew and grew up with are in the twilight of their years right now. Steve Yzerman's the general manager. And I really believe Detroit does not make it into the playoffs this year. They have to clean house at Little Caesars Arena. It'll be 10 years since they've made the playoffs, and that's just beyond the pale in Detroit hockey lore. Especially if you're like me and all you knew was success from the mid-1990s to 2009. Those Red Wings teams were a machine, and that machine is broken now. And if they don't make the playoffs, I mean, they're going to pass the Sabres as having one of the longest non-playoff streaks, you know, in the NHL right now. So, you know, again, desperate's a very good word to describe that. Seattle on Saturday, you know, the Kraken aren't mathematically eliminated yet from the Western Conference picture with 12 games left. They're 5 points out of the second Western wild card spot. But the Islanders, the other team I'm looking ahead to, you know, like Detroit, they're a team that's fighting to get in the playoffs. The Islanders are going to play desperate. They're going to play the spoiler. They're going to fight to get their ways in. They're not a deep offensive team outside of Matt Barzal and Matthew Schaefer, who, by the way, should win Rookie of the Year at this point. But they've lost three out of the last four going into Thursday's game against Dallas. So, yes, you hit a nail on the head right away when you said desperate team. They're going to face three desperate teams.
Well, here's a couple trivia notes for you. You talk about the Red Wings losing in 2016, the last time they were in the playoffs. They have not played a single playoff game yet at Little Caesars Arena, an arena that opened in 2018. They are trying to get to the playoffs for the first time in their new arena.
Who's made more playoff games? I keep calling it Joe Louis. That's how old I am. We're Gen X. Who's played more playoff games at Little Caesars, the Pistons or the Red Wings?
Sure, the Pistons have made it a couple times.
Yeah, right. You know, they're not at the Palace anymore at Auburn Hills.
Now, here's the other trivia question, trivia note on the Seattle Kraken. Did you know the Seattle Kraken are 4-0 in their history at KeyBank Center?
I did not know that.
Buffalo Sabres are one of the newer expansion teams.
Yeah.
The Sabres are 2-7, I think, is the number against the Kraken. But the Kraken is 4-0 here, and they've scored in those four games 22 goals. So it doesn't matter who's wearing the seafaring jersey. The Sabres have had problems there, and that's going to be a back-to-back. after a probably emotional game against Detroit. So a dangerous road here for the Sabres. And the thing that strikes me is, you know, there's going to be losses. People have to realize when you go to the playoffs, you're going to lose games. How many games did the Florida Panthers lose, for example, the last couple of years on the road to two Stanley Cups? When you go to game seven of a couple series, it means you've lost three times. Right. So people are going to have to ride the wave here. But speaking of riding the waves.
Upgrade your home with Express Windows, your local source for windows, doors, and siding. Window installation starts at just $389 with a lifetime warranty on parts and labor. Our streamlined process delivers the fastest installation in just 5 to 7 weeks. From consultation to cleanup, our pros make it easy, affordable, and built to last. Visit ExpressWindowsInc.com to get started today. Express Windows, value, speed, and craftsmanship for every home.
With back-to-back losses in these two games against Anaheim and Boston, and people are a little nervous, oh, here we go, and this and that. And I remind people, the Sabres led in both games with two minutes left in Anaheim, with 6 minutes left against Boston. But give me your impression of those two games, kind of where it went wrong for the Sabres in the late going and then into overtime.
You know, first I'll say this to, you know, I'm sensing a lot of the, oh my God, they've lost back-to-back games in overtime. What's going on? I'm sensing the panic. Buffalo, I understand there's a little, you know, a little bit of like triggering because, you know, you're used to this team suddenly winning so many and you're wondering when the bottom's going to fall out. The bottom is not going to fall out on this team just yet. You know, they went to overtime. They got points. You know, I think the Sabres' response Friday in another Atlantic Division game, you know, is going to show us a lot about the Sabres' resiliency at this time of year. But I look at, I guess because Wednesday's loss to the Bruins is so fresh, you know, there was no pop to the Sabres in those first two periods. It was, you know, it was just one of these, okay, they're here. And the Bruins played like, we're going to go back to the D word again. They played like a more desperate team. They're a wild card team right now. Yeah, they want to break in and, you know, get one of those, you know, two, three seeds in the Atlantic Division. I understand they're desperate. You know, people try to blame it on, oh, you're coming off the four-game West Coast road trip. It's not that. The urgency for the Sabres wasn't there until the third period when they realized, oh, man, we got to get going. We got to get this thing in. And I think about the Casey Mittelstadt goal, you know, old friend Casey Mittelstadt. Remember him, guys? It was such a weird play, you know, unusual play in that it caught everybody off guard. When I covered the University of Maine, Tim Whitehead's teams in like 2010, 2011 always did this. They try to send a long shot off the glass, would bank off the glass, land right near the goalie. And one of their players, I always remember Robbie D, would pick up that puck and catch a goaltender and all the defensemen off guard and score a goal. It was just a weird goal. And Casey Mittelstadt was so opportunistic. It caught everybody off guard and kind of not sucked the life out of the plays, but it was kind of like, okay, now we got to go to overtime. Now we got to do this. And I think about overtime, David Pastrnak is just, it was mastery. Just watching him thread that puck over to Pavel Zacha, and Pavel Zacha was effortless in scoring that goal as well, too. You know, it was about the Bruins found that momentum, that short-term momentum, and rode it as well, too. And again, three of the next six games, I also look at that, not just how they're going to respond. Three of the next six games are against Atlantic Division teams. Friday against Detroit, April 2nd at Ottawa, April 6th at Tampa Bay, the rematch of the big showdown. And, you know, again, these points are still at a premium. If you can take points away from some of these teams and strengthen your own cause, that'd be great. But the Sabres have got to move on from the last two losses. The Anaheim game, it was one of these. That felt like a track meet. You were out there, and it was just one of these. It was literally whoever scores last wins. That's what these last two games felt like as well. And Lindy, I remember earlier in the season, was saying about the Sabres, we cannot get caught up in these track meet games like against New Jersey, which is a team that's going to do that. Now, Boston and Anaheim did it, and they got caught up in the track meet.
Well, I look at it, too, that Boston had just come off a loss to Toronto the night before. Really difficult to lose to Toronto at home. So you're right, their desperation was high. The Anaheim game was one of those games where it was the fourth game of a four-game trip. You're down 4-2. And I think most teams would be happy with their trip and go home. And the Sabres found another gear in the third period. They get a lead. They score three goals. The Ducks have the goaltender pulled. And unfortunately, the Sabres couldn't survive the 6-on-5. The Boston game, was just a kind of a lifeless game. And I know no one's going to use the excuse of the West Coast trip, but I don't care. They cannot want to use the excuse, and I respect that. I've seen it too often. You come off those West Coast trips, and you just don't have the energy the first game back. And it took until the third period.
Even with a couple of days off between games, yeah.
Right. And it took till the third period till they found some legs a little in that game. I really think you're going to see a different Sabres team this weekend. I think they're going to be really focused, pretty sharp. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to have some energy back, and it's going to make a big difference because they just did not have it. In the four games I saw in Vegas and the three in California, they had way more energy all four nights than they did against
They were a much more assertive team.
Yeah,
they were much more assertive.
It just wasn't there against Boston. Some of that was Boston. I thought the Bruins played a really nice road game in a lot of spots of that game. They got some goaltending from Korpisalo when they needed to, but the Bruins, like you said, Pasternak was really assertive in that game, and the Bruins checked well, and the Sabres didn't respond real well at times, and the ice was kind of, there wasn't the room. I think the Sabres looked for some of the room they had out in California they did not have against Boston. So full credit to the Bruins, and we'll see what happens here, but I think you're going to have a little more open ice against Detroit and Seattle.
Right. And here, you know, another thing is, you know, in looking at the panic going into, you know, by some of our readers, some of our audience, and I think, would you rather this team find out how to rally again after losing back-to-back games? I mean, they've done it before, you know, they'd lost back-to-back games in January, had a five-game winning streak after losing at Carolina, because you covered that game at Carolina, and they rallied back for five wins in a row. Then they had back-to-back losses, you know, right before the Olympic break, and they came out of the Olympic break refreshed with, you know, with a couple guys who played in the Olympics and reeled off, you know, an eight-game winning streak. So, you know, would you rather this team find out how to rally after losing back-to-back games at the end of March, or figure out how to rally after being down 2-0 or 3-1 in a playoff series after losing back-to-back games? So, you know, well, this is a learning game in that respect as well, too. And Rasmus Dahlin had said this is a learning game for us. There is a learning curve in that respect as well.
A very good segue there, Rachel, to our next topic.
Right.
The Sabres, let's be honest, I don't think we're jinxing anything. The Sabres are going to make the playoffs. The drought is going to end. They are going to be in the playoffs. So now you really can start honing in on matchups and who would be a good matchup. What is going on at the bottom of the Eastern Conference against teams that might line up against the Buffalo Sabres? We've already kind of discussed the Bruins, who would be a dangerous matchup for the Sabres. The Sabres went 1-1-2 against Boston this year, and Jeremy Swayman wasn't even in goal on Wednesday night. So that's a dangerous matchup. The Bruins are terrific at home also. But as I look here through some of these other teams, Columbus is super hot right now, super dangerous. But how about a team really making a run here but now has an issue? The Ottawa Senators are really starting to push up into the Eastern Conference. They're in a wild card spot. We'll see if they catch Montreal and finish third in the Atlantic. But they've lost Thomas Chabot now for several weeks after he took a cheap cross-check from JT Miller of the Rangers on Wednesday night. Jake Sanderson has been out. The defense in Ottawa is really thin. But the Senators really strike a chord with the Sabres. Ridly Gregg is not a player who's popular in Buffalo's locker room. Brady Tkachuk certainly is not popular in Buffalo's locker room. If you think to what could happen here as you evaluate some of these possible opponents, what strikes you as perhaps a good opponent or perhaps an opponent maybe you don't want to see the Sabres run into in round one?
Okay, an opponent I do not want to see the Sabres run into in round one. You know, I'm thinking everything here. I'm kind of looking at everything. Pittsburgh has given the Sabres fits. You know, Pittsburgh's got this lineup of stars, but they've also got depth. They've got a guy like Justin Brazeau, big 6'4", 6'5" dude who can camp himself right in front of the net, pick up opportunities. They've got a lot of young dudes like Ben Kindle. You know, they've got Crystal Tang, and you know, a little bit of defensive liability with Eric Karlsson and Crystal Tang. I worry when they're on the ice together. But Pittsburgh's a team, I mean, they're another one. They're not desperate, they're hungry because they missed the playoffs the last few years. That's not the standard in Pittsburgh as well. So that's a team that's going to come in with something to prove as well. Pittsburgh is concerned. Tampa, you know, Tampa probably won't be until later, but that's not going to happen. Columbus, like you said. I mean, Rick Bowness has started the turnaround down in Columbus as well, too. You know, he and Lindy should be Jack Adams Award candidates as the top coaches in the league as well. I mean,
no,
I remember watching.
No. No,
you don't think Bones should be? I think he should. I think he should. But I think Lindy gets the edge because I think Lindy gets the edge because he leads his team to the playoffs the first time in 14 years. I think Bonus should definitely be in the mix for that.
But you're missing my point. TNT. I was talking about Lindy. TNT last night gave their coach of the year votes on Wednesday night and didn't include Lindy at all.
How?
Like, how is that even possible?
We're in agreement here as well. Like, how?
It's baffling to me. Everybody's talking about still, and it's a television thing. Everybody's still talking about John Cooper. It's like a career achievement award and a sympathy vote for not winning the gold medal at the Olympics. I'm sorry. Tampa was supposed to be good. Columbus and Buffalo were not.
We're not supposed to be good. And Lindy, we're going to go off a little bit of a tangent here. One of the things that I really respect about Lindy is he has coached. He's been in coaching since, 1993 when he was assistant with Roger Nielsen's teams. I remember Lindy when he played for the Rangers and the Sabres. You remember it, too. But he went from coaching these Gen X kids, I think of the Rob Niedermeyers, John Van Beesbrooks, and Scott Mellenbees with the Panthers, then coming to Buffalo, coaching the team after he took over for Ted Nolan, coaching more Gen Xs. Now he's coaching Gen Zers and the sons of the kids, the sons of guys he coached against, like Josh Stone as well, too. Lindy has transcended generations and has gotten this team, led this team to win again and really dug things out. So that's my little Lindy tangent. Like, he's crossed generations in the NHL. Reason why he should be considered for Jack and Rose. He has evolved.
I'm looking at these standings here. What Lindy, I know Lindy looks at him every day. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 7 teams entering Thursday's play within 4 points. And one of them, obviously, you already mentioned, is Pittsburgh. We've talked about Columbus and Boston. Montreal's the top of the group. Ottawa and the Islanders and Detroit are at the bottom. So out of these 7 teams, 2 of them are going to miss. Mm-hmm. 2 of them aren't making the playoffs. If you assume Carolina, Buffalo, and Tampa are all in, there's 5 spots left, 7 teams going. So 2 teams are going to miss. And they're all possibilities to miss if they run into a losing streak, including Pittsburgh and Boston and Montreal. But the Sabres, you have to look at, to me, the Sabres' best opponent, who they've been most dominant against, is Detroit, least dangerous. But I don't think Detroit's going to make it. I think they're one of the ones that are going to miss.
I'm with you. I don't see Detroit making it either.
How would you like to be in the mind of Patrick Kane right now? Where you've signed multiple years with the Detroit Red Wings on the theory that that's your best chance to win the Stanley Cup. And lo and behold, you might miss the playoffs again, and you look where the Buffalo Sabres are. And remember, Don Granato and Kevin Adams were trying to get Patrick Kane here a couple years ago, and he went to Detroit. We'll see how that one goes, but you're right. The Red Wings, I think they're done. All right.
Sorry, Steve Yzerman. I know you wanted to use the formula that brought the Russian Five, that brought the Henrik Zetterberg, that brought the Euros, that brought in Justin Abdelkader. It's 2026. It's not working, clearly. It's not working, Steve. Sorry.
10 games left for the Sabres. Last topic here. We are actually, in baseball terms, happy opening day to you. In baseball terms, we are talking magic numbers for the Buffalo Sabres.
What's the magic number today?
After 14 years of talking tragic numbers, we are now talking magic numbers where the magic
number... How excited are you to talk about this, Mike?
I'm excited. I'm almost stunned to be talking about it.
I'm excited. I'm excited that we get to do this. This is my first year on the beat. I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect to have this kind of excitement on the beat. So this has been a treat for being a beat writer the first year.
Yeah, you get this on your first year. You should be going to Vegas at some point if you're getting this on the
year. I'm not going this year.
There
might be a playoff series we have to cover.
So. All right, so the magic number right now, 10 games left, heading into Thursday night's play with the Sabres playing Detroit on Friday. The magic number for the Sabres is 11. 11 points left for the Sabres to get, or for the bottom team of the East to not get. The bottom team you're now following in the East at current as we speak is the New York Islanders. Mm-hmm. So if the Sabres get points and the Islanders don't, the magic number goes down. When that number gets to 11, the drought is officially over. So I think we're looking at another 3 or 4 games. But what's your thought simply on when this thing might end and the Sabres are no longer in a drought?
Oh my gosh, you know. Oh, it's funny. I'd written about, well, God, when's this team, what's the probability of this team getting 50 wins, which is great, you know, and somehow the forecast, the model I looked at through moneypuck.com said it might be between April 4th and April 8th as well. So I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to say Easter weekend, right after Easter weekend. I mean, wouldn't it be something if they did it again with a win against Tampa Bay or getting a point against Tampa Bay? You know, that'd be kind of, it'd be kind of, you know, not fairy tale-ish, but I'm going to say Easter weekend. You know, I'm going to say there's going to be an Easter epic for Buffalo. I say that. I remember watching the Easter epic back in the day as well, too. So, yeah, I'm going to say Easter weekend is when we should expect the Sabres to finally clinch a playoff berth to end 14 years of infamy.
I hope, here's what I hope. I hope the fans get the chance to celebrate it. I hope it's done at home.
Oh, they will.
Well, I hope that it's done during a game at home and then not sitting in some hotel room out of town when out-of-town scores allow them to clinch when they're not playing.
Because I was also going to say, you know, do you want them to be sitting at home, you know, wake, you know, find out that night, you know, they're an off night. And it's like, oh, hey, we clinched a playoff berth and we didn't do anything.
Because 14 years ago, the playoff berth was clinched in game 81 at home against Philadelphia. And the Flyers needed the point, too. It was a tie game. And Daniel Briere stood in front of the Sabres net, and Tyler Myers had the puck behind the net. And they stood there for about 30 seconds, running the clock out, because both teams needed the point. Well, because that was the point to clinch the playoffs, the entire building got up on its feet, and there was this massive roar and this celebration that the Sabres had made the playoffs. So then they went to overtime, and they played hockey, and the Sabres won. But it was a great moment. I still remember that moment from 14 years ago. I think these fans and these players deserve to have that kind of moment again. So I hope it happens against Tampa Bay. Would be like, I don't think it can happen against the Islanders. I think that's too soon.
No, too soon.
Tampa Bay could be the time. You could get some points there, and that could be a magic. With all the buildup we're going to have to that game anyway, imagine that's a magic number game to make the playoffs. So I think we should leave people on that thought, because that's such a juicy, delicious thought to think of, clinching the playoff on April 6th against Tampa.
We know we're going to be back at home. Especially after that, it had everything.
Right.
8-7, slug it out, packed penalty boxes win.
Literally, slug it out.
I just to add to the drama of the budding Buffalo Tampa Bay rivalry, and I really think this is a rivalry after that game that, as Stefan from Saturday Night Live would say, it had everything.
So we will be back next week, and I'm sure most
next
of
week.
Our time will be spent talking about the Sabres and the Tampa Bay Lightning. In the interim,
the playoff
of course,
chase.
Right. In the interim, of course, we've got games this weekend. We've got the Islanders. We've got a trip next week to Ottawa and Washington, and we'll see when that magic number goes down and when it finally expires. So be sure to follow all the coverage in the Buffalo News and at BuffaloNews.com. For Rachel Lindsay, this is Mike Harrington. Thanks for watching.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at ExpressWindowsInc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.